You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio, where each and every week we talk about the Montreal Canadiens and we bring it to you every single Saturday. Well, Monday, if you're on our YouTube channel, where we inform, educate, and entertain, engage, and entertain you about the Montreal Canadiens. And oh, there is plenty to engage you with and entertain you with this week for episode 367, From Urgency to Uncertainty. Habs' dose of reality. They got a big dose of reality this week. We have so much to break it all down. But first, let me introduce myself. My name is Amy Johnson. I am your host for today's show. And joining me in the studio each and every week is our president and founder here at Rocket Sports. And his name is Rick Stevens. And I don't think the spoonful of reality medicine went down very well this week for the Montreal Canadiens.
How quickly things can change. We were just here with you 7 days ago, and you know, it was a golf tournament. Everything was light, lots of lofty expectations. And, you know, the sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows were being passed about last week. And it's serious business, very serious business this week, particularly after the Habs' three preseason games that they've have under their belt now.
Well, let's just hope preseason games 4, 5, and 6 maybe go on the upswing a little bit. We'll see. We're going to preview those, but before we do that, let's take you through what to expect on today's show. We are going to review all three of the preseason games that took place this week. And once we do that, of course, we're going to get you updated on the latest roster news coming out of the Canadiens, organization, as well as hit on a Habs prospect report. We've got some Laval Rocket news for you. And some notes just in general, highlights and headline stories from around the NHL, just to get you caught up on the news of the week. And then after our first commercial break, we're going to be back with our big topic segment for this week's show. Our big topic this week, Montreal's wake-up call, a dose of reality hits hard. We're going to talk about, obviously, there were some injuries that took place this week, but the bigger dose of reality really has been that the product on ice, that Thursday night game against Toronto, was, I don't think, what anyone was expecting, including the players on the ice, to see happen in a preseason game. And so we're going to talk, we're going to analyze that game and some weaknesses that showed up in even the first two preseason games earlier in the week. And delve into the difference between last week's lofty hopes and messaging and urgency versus what actually happened when they started playing games this week and where they go from here. We're going to hear some audio from some of the players and from the head coach, and try to kind of make sense of really what did take place this week in these exhibition games for the Montreal Canadiens. And then, of course, we're going to deliver you our Canadiens Connection question of the week, where we ask you a question that we want to hear your answers to, because next week we'll always pull out the best ones and read them here on the show. And that's what we do in the third segment. We've got some great responses to last week's Canadiens Connection question of the week, and so we're going to bring those to you just to make you give you something else to chew on, think about, maybe even react to. And so with that in mind, in case you are listening to the Canadiens Connection for the very first time, we do encourage interaction on this show. We would love to hear not only your answers to the Canadiens Connection question of the week, but also your general comments, feelings about the Habs, any questions that you might have, if you want our opinion on something. Just send us all of your messages. We have a Rocket Sports text line, a dedicated text line. You can send us a text any time of the day, 7 days a week. That's 5853-ROCKET, 5853-ROCKET. You should also be sure that you are subscribed to our YouTube channel. The fastest way to find our YouTube channel to hit that subscribe button is just go to InsideTheCanadians.com. InsideTheCanadians.com. Tap subscribe, hit the notification bell. You always want to know when we are going to have a new video. And also, you could send us your comments and replies on social media. It's at Habs Connection on X, on Facebook, and on Instagram. So there's lots of ways for you to reach out and be in touch with us. We encourage you to do so. We love to hear from our listeners and viewers, particularly now that hockey action is back underway. All right, so we're going to start with a breakdown of the three preseason games that took place this week. And I'm going to actually get Rick's opinion on a lot of these types of things. Before we start with that first preseason opener against Pittsburgh, I am going to make a shameless plug for you once again to go over to our YouTube channel and subscribe, because brand new this season, in addition to our Canadiens Connection podcast, which comes out on our YouTube channel on Mondays, you will find once or twice a week throughout the season, and I started this last week, once or twice through the week, each week through the season, I will be doing a game reaction video the morning after a Habs game during the week. And so it's just kind of like my quick reactions, my quick thoughts, what I thought went well, what I thought didn't go well, and some just a really quick wrap up of the game stats from a previous night's game. If you missed that, head over to our YouTube channel, InsideTheCanadians.com. I put one of those videos out after the Flyers and Habs game last week. And you'll want to be sure you're subscribed so that you don't miss any of the ones that I'll have coming up this coming week and each and every week. So just a little bit more content for you on our YouTube channel. Something a little different, something really quickly consumable and digestible. It's like a 10-minute video. It doesn't take you very long. You get all the information you need, plus a little bit of opinion and analysis, and then you're on your way again. So be sure you hit subscribe over on the YouTube channel. So Rick, let's start with that preseason opener, playing Pittsburgh, not against Marc-Andre Fleury.
No, of course he's going to dress at home. And in fact, he's going to play, as we record this Saturday night, he's going to play at home. And Saturday night, he's got the yellow pads going.
Yes,
and
he does.
Yeah, he looks great.
He looks excited.
And let me just say, if you want the 40,000 foot view about the three preseason games, the Canadiens won two, they lost one. Yeah. If that's all you care about, and it sounds pretty good, doesn't it? That they won two games, they only lost one, but we happen to know our listeners a little bit better than that, and they want us to drill down, mm-hmm. and they want us not to just focus on the score, but report on how the players looked, how cohesive everyone was, and particularly because in the case of the Pittsburgh game, because they've been waiting a long time to see game action, and it was the Canadiens at home against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
That is correct. One thing our listeners and viewers also come to depend on us for is to not just be automatic cheerleaders for what happens in a game with the team. We're going to be honest and objective about crediting things that went well, crediting things, critiquing things that didn't. So did anyone have on their bingo card that the opening preseason game of the year was going to go to a shootout? I know I didn't. And quite honestly, after towards the end of the second period, I was pretty convinced that Pittsburgh was going to win that game. Was not overly impressed with how the Habs looked in the first two periods. But yeah, they did manage to get to overtime, got through overtime, and got to the shootout. And of course, it was Sam Montembeau playing the first half of the game. Jakub Dobish came in. Jacob Fowler came in relief at the halfway point in the middle of the second period, which also meant that he was the one who was tasked with overtime and the shootout. So
in general, this was a sloppy game from both sides. Now, the Canadians had a much better lineup. They're at home. Mm-hmm. You know, the
first game.
The NHL teams tend to travel with lesser lights, and so being a road game for Pittsburgh, I'd say they had their C lineup in there. There wasn't a large number of recognizable names in their lineup, and it was just neither team looked particularly good. Pittsburgh scored first, so as the game went on, it looked like is this all the offense we're going to get here? But it was early in the third period that Owen Beck, nice persistence in front of the net, and 2 months at 2 minutes in, he scored the Canadiens' first goal of the preseason. And you got to give credit for Owen Beck. He had a good showing in the rookie camp, and then he has been very good in the camp so far. You mentioned Jacob Fowler. It was Montembeau allowing the Pittsburgh goal, but Fowler came in, and in the last half, they split right in the middle of the third in the second period. So, in the 30 minutes that Jacob Fowler played, he allowed no goals. He allowed no goals in the overtime. He made an enormous save in overtime that had the fans chanting his name, and then made four out of the five saves in the shootout to gain the victory.
Oliver, and he was pumped when they won.
Oh, yeah, he was. Oliver Kapanen had the game-deciding goal, so he hadn't done a whole lot up to that point, and he had a real opportunity centering the line of Patrick Laine and Demidov. Patrick Laine drew a penalty which showed some hustle on his part, 5-on-5. And as far as NHLers in the lineup or regulars in the lineup, the Canadians, what will be their fourth line, Evans, Anderson, Gallagher were in the lineup. What is being talked about as the first defense pairing, Matheson, Dobson were in the lineup. A shootout victory, should the Canadians have done more? Well, maybe excuse them because it was the first preseason game, because Marty was all about giving them time to... No, he wasn't. Okay, we'll talk about that a little bit later.
One of the key things, too, was within the first couple of shifts of the game, Ivan Demidov, other teams have not forgotten that you are still relatively new to the NHL, and they made the Penguins made their presence known with the Habs' new young star. He took a big hit along the boards very, very early in the game.
Yeah, he was targeted throughout the game, and various Canadians stepped in. Josh Anderson was one to let the Penguins know that wasn't welcome. But he's liable to face that for the most part throughout the season. I said the C team from the Penguins. It was also the C or D or F team from the broadcast. That was the worst TSN broadcast. Our friend Mike on our Slack just said it was just brutal. It was. That was awful.
That's not good. That was painful. Awful. It was painful. Very painful. All right. So then the very next night, it was back to the Bell Center Ice for the Philadelphia Flyers to come in. Montreal winning this one. The offense woke up a little bit. We saw there was Canadians seemed to start the game sooner than they did on Monday night. There was a little bit more, I'm not urgency in the full sense of the word, but there was more energy within the lineup, I think, in the first period. They won this one 4-2. And thought they did overall a decently better job than they had on Monday night. It wasn't lights out. I would say it was kind of an average game, but it was at least an improvement over the previous night.
Yeah, and I think that the Flyers, they didn't bring their A lineup. They brought maybe the B lineup.
Yeah,
there
were
some
guys,
recognizable names. Couturier, our dear friend Dvorak was in the lineup,
right.
Anthony Richard formerly of the Laval Rock, Travis Sanheim,
Nick Delorier.
Yeah, there was
a lot of former Canadians in the lineup,
and some good young players as well. Bobby Brink and Alex Bump and Jet Lachenko, who I like. It was a much better game, and the Canadians controlled the play throughout, and they feasted on really bad goaltending the Flyers' side. Mm-hmm. And there was some nice the Canadians' top line was there, Suzuki and Caulfield each had a goal and an assist. Hudson made a nice play joining the rush for one of those goals. You had the emotional a brotherly moment playing the Flyers, the brotherly moment of Florian and Arbuzak in the lineup together, playing first time they had played together, their mom driving, getting the day off work and driving all day to be at the game. Florian got a goal, Arbor got an empty netter, and Florian got into a fight with, as you mentioned, Delorier was there. Arbor Jacki was on the penalty kill. He played, and I thought he looked pretty good on the penalty kill. Mm-hmm. So it was, and I mentioned the Flyers goaltending looked pretty shaky. Jakub Dobish was solid. He was excellent, saved all 9 shots. And then, it's not looking like much of a competition so far. Kakinen came in and did not look good. In fact, gave up a goal on his very first shot. So there was some good, there was some bad. I thought that again, the Beck Mishar Farrell from the previous night looked better than the Bolduc Newhook and Moi. And we mentioned Christian Dvorak. There's a skate incident, unfortunately, and Yuri Slavkovsky was left with a bit of a scar and a cage after that. So a bit of both that night. Should the Canadians have beat up on the Flyers a bit more? Maybe. But they got a win nonetheless.
The one area that they did have success in both of those first two games was the faceoff dot. They were above 60% on faceoff wins both nights.
Yeah,
which I was pleased to see that
for sure. And it also kind of highlighted Joe Valeno is fighting for a spot somewhere, and his. On his resume, his calling card is that he's supposed to be good on faceoffs, particularly defensive zone faceoffs. He was the worst of the Canadians at down around 38%. it stands out when the rest are well over 60%.
Mm-hmm. It does. So if it was in a kind of a meh game on Monday night and it was a decently average game on Tuesday night, then we certainly had high hopes that Thursday night, home ice, the first of a home-and-home against their rivals, the Toronto Maple Leafs, where we knew that there was going to be many more Canadians NHLers in the lineup, kind of had some high hopes for Thursday night's game. And boy, just absolutely, you used the word brutal earlier. This was a brutal game to watch. Toronto, who did not bring an NHL caliber lineup in the least, absolutely just ran over the Canadiens. Scott Laughton, who, as you had mentioned during the game, you know, and I adore Scotty Laughton from his Philadelphia Flyers days, and I'm hoping he has a lot of success with Toronto, but is a fourth line player who they made him look, he certainly made Leafs management sit up and say, okay, can you do that during the regular season? Because the Habs helped him look good. Toronto winning 7-2.
Yeah, the Leafs, this was the worst lineup we saw all week.
Oh, it was awful.
Yeah, the D crew. Their first line, their top line is probably their fourth line mm-hmm. on the NHL club with Laughton and Cowan and Lawrence or Lawrence. They discussed Michael Bezetta was in the lineup. So it made the loss that much more difficult to swallow for the Canadiens because it was such a poor team. The Canadiens, they had their top six, their top two forward lines, their top defensive pair, and their number one goaltender against a group of plugs. Really, they said on the broadcast that the Leafs lineup, those players wouldn't even have been playing the power play on their junior teams. That's kind of the level that they brought in. And Sam Montembeau had a terrible night.
Oh, he
was
awful.
Five goals. And yes, the Canadiens played poorly in front of him, but he let in some bad goals.
Yeah.
Five goals in the 30 minutes that he played. Canadiens didn't look good 5-on-5 at all. They got two power play goals. One of the goals was really nice with Demidov, just a beautiful pass to Patrick Laine. But the unsung hero was Philip Machar going to the front. He circled around the back of the net, came to the front of the net, drew the defenseman, left a clear lane for Laine, and the Canadiens got a goal. So that was the power play was clicking anyway.
Finally, but because the power play had gone 0-for-6 in the first two games, and it was kind of like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Ruh-roh, Shaggy, because there was absolutely nothing happening on the power play, so it was great to see the man advantage finally start to click and wake up.
Everybody was clicking on the power play except Joshua Waugh. He got so many opportunities. There was one power play shift that he had three turnovers on the same shift. He was, I don't understand. I mean, there was just no compete level at all. He lost most of his puck battles. And he keeps getting these golden opportunities, and delivering nothing. And he's looking very much like he's not going to be an NHL player, and that his home will be the AHL, where he can flourish. But he's not looking good at all, and he's quickly taking himself out of that competition mm-hmm. For a spot.
Also, very difficult to win games if not only can you really not put much up in terms of shots on goal on the board at all, but when you only have four even strength shots In the entire game?
In the game.
That's not good.
Four even strength shots on goal in the game with the Leafs icing a terrible group.
Terrible
lineup. How does that happen? And you have your top six in there. That's
big red warning bells going off.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into, we'll talk about this. We'll talk about injuries more in a moment when we get to roster news, but should also mention that they were without Noah Dobson for the third period. So they were down to him as well, for the third period. But we'll talk more about injuries here in just a minute. Before we get there, let's just kind of overview of the first three games of the week. The high points for the week for you, Rick.
Well, as we did last week, we kind of named our the players who were notable, who we noticed during the week. And Owen Beck, again, was noticeable. Jacob Fowler was noticeable. Marty St. Louis mentioned by name Philippe Michard, mm-hmm. as one of the only players that that he thought played well in the Toronto game, and I thought so too. Yeah. Philippe Michard has had a good camp. Vincent Rohr has, and I think it's kind of been assumed that he's heading back to the Swiss League, but he's like, well, not so fast. He wants his name in the hat for that competition. The Jacki brothers, for obvious reasons, had a notable week. Jakub Dobiš and Jacob Fowler, both pretty solid in the games that they played.
Absolutely. So let's talk about those injuries. Well, first off, we saw Delgaiso come into the lineup on Thursday against Toronto when he wasn't slated to be, because it turned out that Caden Gooley needed to have some maintenance work done prior to practice, prior to the pregame skate earlier in the day, and they left him out of the lineup due to what they're saying is a minor groin injury. So Caden Gooley wasn't in the lineup.
And listen, don't be following, don't be listening to Renaud Lavoie, because he really made a mess of...
Boy, did he ever.
Of that.
Tweeted that that Caden Gooley was late to practice, and so he wasn't, so he got pulled out of the lineup.
Yeah.
And then had
for disciplinary, inferring that it was a disciplinary situation. It
right.
wasn't that at all.
And within like 30 minutes during the game, he had to walk that back and say, okay, I need to clarify that no, he was the last one to hit the ice for practice because he was having maintenance
treatment therapy.
Yeah,
he was having treatment for the injury.
Yeah. So Caden Gooley was out. Noah Dobson did not come back in the third period, as I mentioned. Concerning, of course. He is also out with a groin injury. But Rick, Marty St. Louis says, don't freak out about these two yet.
Yeah, quote, I don't think it's serious stuff, so I'm not too worried about it. It's kind of, training camp injuries are not like regular season injuries where they can play through them in the regular season, whereas during training camp, it doesn't make sense to, exacerbate anything.
The one you can freak out about is we saw Noah Dobson not come back, go down the tunnel in the second, not come back for the third. And then we saw David Reinbacher go down the tunnel, didn't come back. And you're not going to see David Reinbacher for a while because the defenseman's going to be out for at least 4 weeks with a broken metacarpal bone. That is one of the palm bones. The metacarpals are the bones in the palm between your wrist bones and your finger bones. Broke one of those. Ugh.
And again,
I feel like it's deja vu. Like, it's not his knee, but it's like, can we get off this carousel?
It was so innocent. It was so innocent looking, where the Toronto defenseman, you know him, Henry Thrun. You remember him?
Yeah.
One of those players that the Maple Leafs were icing. Just a weak wrister from the point getting it in and not sure how it struck David Reinbacher, but fractured the bone. The Canadians are saying 4 weeks, which to heal. You wonder how long it's going to take for full recovery. We reached out to our medical consultant, Dr. Stephen Morris, and he said, well, there's a few things it can depend on. I'm going to read. He says, the one thing you need to look for is something called rotational deformity. If that's the case, could be more serious. If it's not, it could be pretty straightforward. He says, young guys generally heal pretty quick. The 4 week timeline, which the Canadians have been pretty good about estimating, projecting the time for injury recovery, that all seems pretty reasonable, and that would take us to the end of October. The Laval Rocket begin their schedule mid October, so he's going to miss a couple of weeks of game action.
I had someone when I tweeted about this on X, I had someone reply, it's only 7 AHL games. It's not that bad.
Yeah. So we're hearing that a lot. No big deal.
My reply to that person was, that's if he's cleared to play in just 4 weeks.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, and I'll take it a little bit further. Healed physically and healed mentally, two different things. Because what have I said? The word that I've used every game this season, and that applies to the rookie camp, the prospect showdown, and the preseason games that he's played, tentative. Reinbacher has been tentative. He was again Thursday night. Once he makes a decision, he goes about it very deliberately, and it seems you can see him thinking out there, oh, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I do this? Should I do that? And by that time, forget it. You can't do that in the NHL, even against these weak lineups this week, but more especially against very good lineups. He just seems to have no confidence whatsoever. And why would that be at this stage of the game? You know, I had to go back and remind myself that he came back to the lineup, to the Laval Rocket lineup, in February 19th. So they were load managing his situation. He wasn't playing every game. Mm-hmm. But he played last year 10 games for the Laval Rocket once he returned, and he played 13 playoff games. So he's played 23 games last season, and still, because of that injury, his knee last year, he looked and is playing very, very tentatively, and you're not going to be able, you can't survive. It's hard to survive in the AHL if you're deliberate in making your decisions, if you're not automatic in making your decisions, if you're not confident in your body, and if you're worried about getting injured again.
And that's kind of the crux of it. Like, okay, I'm glad that it's not his knee again. And okay, it's 4 weeks, and there's just going to be 2 weeks of that. That's going to be AHL game time. And it was pretty likely that he wasn't going to start the season in the NHL anyway. But now, the reason I say this is a big level of concern is because look at how it now pushes the timeline for everything. No, he was probably not making the opening night NHL roster, but would he have been on track to probably get his first call up, maybe an extended look, by the end of November or early December? Probably. Now, if he comes back at the end of October, there's an adjustment period. He's lost any additional opportunities to play in any more NHL preseason games just to get more of that NHL action, NHL pace, NHL reps under his belt. As you say, his confidence is shaken again. He's going to be, now I'm thinking about my knee and I'm thinking about my hands. It's frustration for a young player who's constantly having to deal with these, got to get healthy again, got to get back on the ice, I'm under pressure. And so the adjustment time for him once he comes back, let's say he comes back the first week of November for Laval, then there is going to be an adjustment period for him to get back into a rhythm of game action. Is he still going to be called up in? Yes, he could go out and absolutely kill it and still maybe get a call up in December or something like that. Or is it delayed further? And is it just one more thing that's setting him back again and again? And I think the other reason it's so frustrating for me is you traded, and you know I complained about this over the summer when it happened, you traded away Logan Mailloux, who was the most NHL-ready right-handed shot, puck-moving defenseman that you had, because you put your eggs all in the David Reinbacher basket. The Blues started Logan Mailloux on their top pairing the other night for his first game.
And it's preseason. He's not likely to be there.
No. But just
something, if I can... You mentioned David Reinbacher wasn't going to be in the opening night lineup anyway. That's since his tentative performance in the prospect showdown. Do you remember everybody and their dog on podcasts, in their articles, talking about, and very prominent people that if I name them, you would recognize immediately, saying that David Reinbacher was a lock to start opening night?
Back in August.
Back in July, August?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we said, pump the brakes.
We said it was a possibility. It all depended on how he performed in training camp. But there was some question mark and some question mark about whether Matheson was going to be traded prior to the start of this season, and whether, you know, David Reinbacher could then just slot right in if he had progressed and all of that. And we were saying, wait a minute, he's had how many games experience in the AHL? Mm-hmm. 21 games, something like that.
It's not much.
And regular season games I'm talking about. And he needs more time. But we were getting a lot of pushback, mm-hmm, about that he was going to start in the NHL for the Canadians. And if he didn't, it wouldn't be too long before he'd get called up and not sent back. And he hasn't looked anything like that, that he's capable of doing anything like that. It was fascinating. He spoke to Journal de Montréal, David Reinbacher did, prior to the Flyers game. And the quote is fascinating. He was asked about his injury last season, his knee injury, and is it still on your mind? Because we remember that at the end of the locker cleanout day, he said he was about 90%, and that the injury was still on his mind, and he'd have to get it out of his mind over the summer as he was training. So the reporter, in a great question, said, David, is the knee injury still on your mind from last season? His answer is this, quote, I have to try to completely forget about it and focus on the game, end quote. Meaning, yes, it's still on his mind.
I still have not, I have spent the summer getting it out of my mind so that I can focus on the game.
So his injury, the incident, was 1 year ago, and it's still on his mind. He returned to the lineup after going through a lot of recovery, rehab, on February 19th. That's 7 months ago, and it's still on his mind. So for those that say, no big deal, He'll be ready to go by the end of October. We'll see. We'll see if how he plays at that point. This, I think, is yet another setback in his development, and the Canadians are going to have to start kind of game planning around him. And sorry to say that he just seems to be a different player until he gets his confidence back and gets rid of this tentative way of playing.
Absolutely. And I am hoping that something will be different this time when he comes. You know, he came back last February, and as you said, they did load management with him for a little while, but.
And he played well at times.
And he played well. And there were times that he looked confident and stronger. So I am hoping that he can tap into that mindset coming off of this injury. But I think I'm going to have to say the same thing that I said back in the summer when everyone was tooting the David Rombacher's a lock to make the opening night roster. I'm going to go back to what I said then, which is I'll believe it when I see it. And this time it's in terms of how quickly he's going to bounce back after this injury, because I just don't know. I just don't know what his mindset's going to be.
Yeah.
Ugh. We would love to hear your thoughts on this, by the way. So feel free to send in your comments, your texts, your replies on social media or in the comment section on YouTube, because it certainly was not big injury news was not something that we wanted to see happen for the Canadians again this year. All right. We are going to take a quick dip, just a quick dip into the Habs prospect report right now.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
We're back to highlighting a Montreal Canadiens prospect each week. This is typically a prospect who isn't playing in the NHL or the AHL, but instead a prospect who's either playing in junior or over in Europe, or in NCAA. And this week, we're shining the spotlight on Alexander Jurovsky. You remember him from this year's draft selection. Well, he scored his very first KHL goal, his first goal of the season, for Savat Yolayev Ufa of the KHL. It was a nice goal as well.
Oh, it was really nice, yeah.
Really nice little cleanup right in front of the net. Nice little tic-tac-toe play. Buried it behind the goaltender. He also had an assist in that game, which took place earlier today on Saturday. So a goal and an assist. Pretty darn good.
5-2 loss for his team, but he was in on both of his squad's goals. Just over 15 minutes in ice time, and that was his first action of the season. He had been out with an ankle injury, and that ankle injury had occurred off ice. He was playing a basketball game and sprained his ankle and has been out. We remember that it was Jurovsky that Kent Hughes was calling Demidov to say, "Hey, what's your take on this guy?" Mm-hmm. In the behind the scenes draft video that the Canadiens released, and it was Jurovsky that the Canadiens they had on their board listed as a first rounder. So early in the second round, with the second pick in the second round, they traded up. And selected him, and we're very happy to do so. Now, for those saying that, hey, get him over here. Well, he's as it stands now under contract with his KHL team till the end of the 2026-2027 season.
Gonna have to wait a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
On the Laval Rocket front, the Rocket are going to open their training camp in down at Place Belle on Tuesday. So look to see. We expect there to be a pretty hefty round of cuts, most likely either Saturday or Sunday after the Canadiens finish this game in Toronto. And we'll start to see Laval put out some announcements about who is going to make up their training camp attendees. Just as a reminder, they're coming off a pretty spectacular season, Rick.
They are.
They've got big shoes to fill as a follow-up.
They had the league's best regular season record. They won the McGregor-Kilpatrick Trophy. In the awards gala in July, they were the AHL's Team of the Year, received the President's Award. They got John Sedgwick, got GM of the Year. It was
Pascal Vincent.
Pascal Vincent, yeah.
It was Coach of the Year.
It was an excellent, until they got to the playoffs. But the regular season was fabulous, and they'll be looking to head in the same direction this season. And as you said, they'll need some players to work with as training camp opens on Tuesday. So we expect some cuts after Saturday night's game.
Absolutely. Just some quick notes, headlines around the NHL. Mason McTavish staying with Anaheim, signing a 6-year, $7 million AAV extension with the Ducks.
Yeah, we remember that we told you about him having a bit of a holdout, and there was a bit of a stalemate with the Ducks. He wanted a shorter-term bridge contract. They wanted to sign him long-term. Did they meet in the middle? Maybe. Mm. Maybe edging towards the Ducks. Six-year deal. $7 million AAV. So McTavish is an Anaheim Duck again.
All right. Boy, some really, really tough news coming out of Florida this week. We saw Alexander Barkov go down and have to be helped off the ice during a practice earlier this week. Well, worst possible news, I think, as a result of his evaluations, with the Panthers announcing that their captain is going to miss 7 to 9 months after having surgery to repair injuries to his ACL and MCL that occurred during practice. Rick, this is just a gigantic blow to the team, but I feel for Barkov so much. I mean, to miss the season, but also it's going to mean that he's going to miss out on playing for Team Finland in the Olympics. That is just a double whammy.
Yeah, a real gut punch to both him and the team. There's still hope that he could return for the playoffs, but it's going to be tough for the Florida Panthers. Very challenging with Barkov out. We already know that Matthew Tkachuk is out till December, January with that torn abductor injury that he got in the Four Nations Cup. So challenge for the Florida Panthers.
But don't count them out. Don't count a Paul Maurice team out. Don't count out the toughness and grittiness that the Florida Panthers have. It's going to be a challenge, but I'll be really keen to see how they step up to that challenge and take that on. One last thing. We have the Daily Faceoff put out a ranking. Matt Larkin wrote this up. A ranking of all 32 NHL goaltending tandems for this coming season. Ranking the goaltending tandems for the season.
Yeah.
I'm sure you will be pleased, Rick, to see that the Winnipeg Jets take the top spot.
Well, Connor Hellebuck is the best regular season goalie in a long time. He's won 3 Vezinas. And Eric Comrie is along for the ride, and he's a good supportive backup. No, I say that in jest. He was solid when he came in as well. So the Jets take the top spot. New Jersey Devils with Jacob Markstrom and Jake Allen in second spot. Toronto Maple Leafs, Anthony Stolarz, Joseph Woll in third. Washington Capitals, Logan Thompson, Charlie Lindgren. The Dallas Stars with Jake Ottinger and Casey DeSmith in fifth. And you have to go all the way down. Now, lots of people have Sam Montembeau ranked a bit higher. Not so much for Matt Larkin. The Canadians end up in the middle of the pack, which maybe is reasonable. The tandem of Sam Montembeau and Jakub Dobish come in as number 16 on his ranking. He said that come back next year that the Canadians may make a big jump. Said that Montembeau has been improving year after year. And Dobish was very impressive in his debut last season. So, he made the comment. Matt made the comment. Should help to have Dobson on the blue line as well. Should mm-hmm. help out the goalie situation. I just note that it's kind of interesting to me that in the top five you have three former Montreal Canadiens goaltenders. Jake Allen with New Jersey, Charlie Lindgren with Washington, and Casey DeSmith. Yes, Casey DeSmith was briefly...
It counts.
It does for the Dallas Stars.
Yes, it does. All right, we are going to take our first break here on the Canadiens Connection podcast. We're going to hear from our friends and sponsors over at DraftKings. They've got a great incentive for all of our listeners to check that out. And get ready, because when we come back, we are tackling our big topic, Montreal's wake-up call. A dose of reality hits pretty hard. You are not going to want to miss that. We're going to break it all down for you right after this. So stay with us. You're listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Football is back, and so is your shot at big wins. With DraftKings Pick 6, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, your game day instincts can score you real money fast. Here's the play. Just pick more or less on two or more player stats, from breakout rookies to elite QBs, and unlock the upside every snap brings. The better your calls, the bigger your payout. And here's the kickoff bonus. New DraftKings customers get $50 in bonus picks with just a $5 entry on your first pick set. This season, play your player instincts. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. Play just $5, get $50 in Pick 6 bonus picks. Make the call. Ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. 1 per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 bonus picks that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
And welcome back to the Canadiens Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson. Hey, if you'd like to follow my coverage over on X, just find my handle at Flyers Rule. You are welcome to follow me over there. You also want to follow my co-host, our president and founder here at Rocket Sports, Rick Stevens. You'll find him on X at our main account here on the show, and that is at Rocket Sports. Follow him over there. You can also follow this podcast at Habs Connection on X, Facebook, and Instagram. And don't forget, if you haven't done so already, hit subscribe. Don't ever miss an episode. Also hit subscribe over on YouTube at InsideTheCanadiens.com. All right. Thursday night, the Canadiens were subjected to a pretty embarrassing loss at the hands of, frankly, a no-name team who just happened to be wearing the colors of the Toronto Maple Leafs. What really made that loss sting more is that Marty St. Louis had deployed his top six forwards, his top defensive pairing, and his starting goaltender. And they still not only came up flat, they just absolutely looked invisible. And all of that was on home ice, the friendly Bell Center packed with Habs fans. So yes, we know it's preseason, it's exhibition. We get that, but you can't just brush it off by saying it was just a preseason contest, because that kind of attitude completely flies in the face of what we heard Marty St. Louis talk about last week on the show at the start of training camp.
Do you remember the quotes?
I remember the quotes.
They were so strong. He repeated them. It starts right now. It's going to start now. It's got to start now. And he talked about you can't just flip the light switch when it comes to the opening night of the game. You can't just kind of coast through the preseason and then flip it on and be confident that it's going to happen. And he said that he took full accountability for the Canadiens' slow start last season. And the fact that they weren't very good in the month of October, and that's because, you know, there wasn't enough repetition during the lineups that he was putting together during the last year's preseason. He was too emotional, he said, and that it was going to change. He was going to demand in practice, in preseason games, his players to be fully committed. He said, you know, we're not going to wait until the regular season games to make sure we play well defensively. We're going to start now. We're not going to wait until then to be a physical team. We're going to be physical in practice. And as we talked at the outset of this podcast, you know, half of the preseason games have been played, and the results so far have been kind of underwhelming. Yes, two wins and one brutal loss, but remember that the lineups are not only are the lineups that these teams are bringing to Montreal are poor. Look at the projections for these teams. If you look at the Athletic had their projections out this week. If you missed it, the Canadiens are projected to finish 16th with 92 points. The Flyers this year are going to be, according to the Athletic, a bottom five team.
I think they will.
They're projected to finish 27th. The Penguins are worse. They're projected to finish 30th. So those were the first two games. Yes, the Canadiens won them, but not very convincingly. So that's what I'm saying. The results so far have been kind of underwhelming. And I just think that it's time for the performance of the players to match what the coach has said, the coach's rhetoric. And we're not setting standards that they're not setting for themselves. We're just simply holding them to the criteria that Marty St. Louis set for this team. Expectations are significantly raised for a much better start to the season. He said it's going to happen. He's going to demand it. He's going to ensure that it happens. So we can't be blasé about preseason games. They matter to Marty St. Louis, so they should matter to his players and to the fan base. And the Canadiens last year, you know, squeaked into the playoffs. I think fans don't expect them just to be a, you know, kind of a bubble team on the edge. They expect them to be a legitimate playoff team this year. And I think expectations all around this team are much higher. And, you know, we pretty much know what to expect from the first line. We know what to expect from what will be the fourth line. That's the Suzuki line and the Evans line. What we don't know, and where there are some question marks, are right in the middle of the lineup. And I think the performance it's going to depend on a lot of things. It's going to depend on how the defense adjusts and the injection of new talent, if goaltending holds up, all of that, the injury situation, but key is going to be how the middle of the lineup, those second and third lines, perform. And we know there wasn't much beyond the top line last year. It's going to have to change for the Canadiens to achieve the goals that they've set for themselves.
And the thing is, just to go back to something you said a minute ago, that so far results have been underwhelming, and it's time for the players to match their performance to the kind of the mandate that the coach has set for them. Well, they've made that now really they've made that job a lot more difficult for themselves, because as you said, half the preseason's games are gone. Those have all been games on home ice, where they had the home ice advantage, and coupled with that, the visiting teams have sent weak lineups. Starting Saturday night, they're going into Toronto. Toronto is icing a pretty decent lineup on Saturday night, and the Canadiens are not. And so they have not only an uphill battle to begin with to start to kind of pick things up to where I think Marty St. Louis would like them to be in preseason, and they're already kind of up against it because they've squandered their three home game advantage.
Well, and just to add to that, the Canadiens always have an advantage in the preseason because teams like to come to the Bell Center. Why? Because the rules are that the home team and the away team split the gate during preseason. Why is that important? Well, the Bell Center is going to be filled whether it's preseason or not, regular season or preseason. Not always the case with other teams. So the teams like to come to Montreal. So really, you mentioned Saturday night's game. It's really the only game that the Montreal Canadiens have to play in an opposing arena, an opposing team's arena. Four games at home, one against the Leafs on the road, and one in a neutral site. And I'm saying neutral, but Quebec City, is it really neutral? It's almost a home game for for Montreal. So they have a real advantage, and that's why we're perhaps being and why we're being tough on them, and why Marty St. Louis has been tough on them as well.
That's right. So getting to what you're talking about, that really the focus is going to be on the middle of the lineup, that second line and that third line. We're going to kind of start in reverse order. Let's talk about the third line a little bit. We've seen Zach Bolduc this week. We've seen Alex Newhook at the center, and okay, put a question mark around the right winger there, whether Owen Beck, Oliver Kapanen, Florian Jacky, Vincent Rohr, that third line makeup. I don't know. We don't know what the final third line is going to look like, but I haven't been wowed by Zach Bolduc yet. I'm not sure that I've been wowed by Alex Newhook yet. So yeah,
it's really interesting because, Alex Newhook, should be playing like his hair is on fire. There's question about that second line. So, why isn't he saying, oh yeah, you got me penciled in for the third line. I'm going to excel at that. And maybe I'm going to make you think about whether I should be higher up in the lineup. He's been very underwhelming. Alex Newhook, Bolduc done some good things, but not, I mean, these look like two guys that are just kind of comfortable with
mailing it in.
Not at all the it starts now attitude from either of them. There is a real competition, though, with that open spot. And Marty St. Louis said it's kind of wide open, and he rattled off a list of names. Ones you'd expect, Owen Beck. And I think Owen Beck is far and away the leader so far in camp. Kapanen just looks like he can play an NHL caliber game, and has looked not outstanding, but looked comfortable wherever he's played. Vincent Rohr is opening eyes all over the place. The Joshua Waugh, we talked about, he's been a huge disappointment. And I think he's run himself out of the competition. I was surprised that Marty St. Louis mentioned Jared Davidson when he talked about the list of players. And Jared Davidson is looking like he's fighting for a spot. He's hurt by the fact that his speed isn't quite up to NHL average, and his foot speed will cause him. But he's feisty. He can bring some grit to the lineup, and he can score. And speaking of scoring and feistiness, there's Florian Jacky, who I think there's a lot of excitement around his name in camp. It's just a little too early. He needs another year in the AHL. Philippe Machard has looked good, but he's going to be in Laval. I think we can be clear about that. The other two, the veterans, Sammy Blais and Joe Valeno, nothing special. Not with yet. Either of them. We know that both of them are capable of bringing physicality to the lineup. It was hoped that Valeno would be a solution on with respect to faceoffs. He hasn't looked that way so far. But are either one of those guys the Michael Pezzetta, who's the fill in, the injury replacement, a guy that is most likely a healthy scratch, but will come in and can bring some things for you. And they're known quantities. But I think, the real competition, and it's still open, are Beck, Kapanen, Rohr maybe, for that third line. But let's hope that the other two, the ones that are supposed to be penciled in there, get a bit of a spark and pick up their play as well.
We'll see. The Bolduke New Hook line is going to be the top line for the Canadians in Toronto on Saturday night. So we'll see how that works out. So that leaves us with the second line. Patrick Laine, Kirby Dach, Ivan Demidov. And there is we've said this throughout the summer, there is so much riding on whether or not these three players can find the chemistry to click and make things happen.
And the interesting thing is that we saw Kirby Dach, we saw Patrick Laine together last year, and it was awful. It was awful. So the thought is, well, try them again, because it on paper, Patrick Laine has got the size, Patrick Laine has got the the scoring ability. You've got two guys in Dach and Demidov who can set him up as the scorer, and they can chip in as well. But because a lineup fits well on paper, is there going to be enough time for chemistry to develop so that they look good, once the season starts? And the plan we heard from Jeff Gorton was that they have a plan in place that will see Kirby Dach in the opening night lineup. That plan had included him playing a preseason game against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And listen, as we said, not many Canadians looked very good in that game. So it was pretty hard to really evaluate Kirby Dach. Mm-hmm. He looked, when you look at him, he looked slimmer. He looked quicker on the ice. But there wasn't a lot. And I don't know, after, an initial bit of good play by Patrick Laine in the opening night game, he's kind of back to himself, back to last year's 5-on-5 Patrick Laine, or at least he looked that way in against the Leafs. And you got to ask yourself, Demidov, is he the right guy? Do Dach and Laine really complement how skilled Demidov is? And Marty St. Louis is he likes his top line. He likes those three together. He wants to keep them together as much as possible. But it's tempting to think, what could Demidov do with Caulfield and Suzuki and is Slefkovský a better fit for Patrick Laine and Kirby Dach.
And how soon will Marty test that theory?
Not very soon. I think he's wedded to that, just as he is to the fourth line.
Unless, knock on wood, he's forced to.
Yeah, we don't want to think that, but
no, I wish.
What if he just tries it?
And, I know,
and it
just
works.
Try it. And what if it just goes off? Yeah. I mean, come on, don't shoot yourself in the foot. Well, Kirby Dach was obviously excited to get back in the lineup. He, you know, if you can say excited, because Kirby Dach, when he's excited, still sounds really underwhelmed when he does an interview. He's very subdued in his interviews, and then it very much sounds just kind of like this, even when he's really excited about things. And he had said, on Thursday before the game, he said, "I'm excited. It's been a long summer. It's been a hard summer. I'm just excited to be back out there. I feel good. Tonight's about finding timing and so forth." In fact, let's hear from Kirby Dach himself.
I feel good. I think tonight it's about finding timing and starting to build chemistry with Patty and Demi, and making sure that I'm doing all the right things away from the puck and not forcing the game, just kind of letting the game come to me and play from there.
It's been drilled into his head, obviously, that his focus should be on his play away from the puck, his defensive play. And really, it's been a focus for, it's been what Marty St. Louis has been preaching all of training camp. And we even heard it from Jeff Gordon, that they want to be a much better team defensively. And that just it doesn't just happen by bringing in a Noah Dobson. Their focus is that everyone, forwards, defense, everyone has to be better defensively. And Kirby Dach has obviously heard that lesson that's being preached. And he said the right things, that has to be his focus.
Well, he went on to talk a little bit about what that line of his needs to do in order to be successful.
I think I kind of touched on it, just making sure we're smart away from the puck and playing a solid defensive game, and maybe not forcing the offense so much. And I mean, we're all offensive players, the three of us, so that'll come just naturally. It's about taking care of the puck and taking care of the team. Sometimes it means having a couple shifts where we got to grind it out defensively and just get pucks in and change, but eventually the offense will come. I think we just got to stick to the game plan, not force anything, and things will happen.
If you weren't paying attention to his first answer, he repeated
it. Let me repeat that.
And reinforced it in that second answer. He talked about playing well against away from the puck, talked about playing well defensively. The line has to play well defensively, that they're not going to force their offense, that they're not going to take chances, that they're all, he considers themselves, offensive-minded players. So that will take care of itself as long as they take care of the defensive side of the game. I found it fascinating. One thing that I kind of had put to the back of my mind and had to look up, how many games did Kirby Dach play? Because it seems like he's been gone for a long time. It seems like he's coming back after a long exile to the wilderness. He played 57 games for the Montreal Canadiens last year.
Did he go out in like January or February?
22 points. And so, yes, he's been gone, but he played a lot, and he didn't play that well last year. Mm-mm. He had a real tough time before Christmas, and was kind of getting things going, before, the injury bug hit again. But he played enough. And so he knows what he needs to do, and it's obviously been drilled into his head and his line mate's head of what that line needs to do to be successful.
So if he was kind of reflecting with a bit of optimism and a little bit of positivity prior to that game against the Leafs, well, his line mate Patrick Laine did not sound so chipper after a 7-2 loss to the Maple Leafs. Here's what Laine had to say when he was asked to describe the game against the Leafs.
Well, I mean, it was 7-2, so I think that pretty much says it all. Mm-hmm. It was a little hard. What did we get? Maybe like 5 shots, even strength, in 60 minutes. You know, so definitely wasn't an easy game. Wasn't our best, obviously, but, you know, it's preseason. We'll watch video and we'll learn from this game and just move on.
So you should be
we'll
able
watch
to
video and move on and learn.
Figure it out yourself. It was 7-2. Didn't you notice the scoreboard? And what? We had 5 shots, even strength for 60. No, actually,
it was
4 shots, even strength for 60 minutes. Not happy at all.
Reporters continued and pressed him to ask him, was there a lack of urgency?
I think just execution. I feel like guys were, myself included, sleeping a little bit. I think just simple mistakes that, you know, just cost us today. I think we've been, you know, working super hard in practice, but at the same time, you gotta execute when it's game time, and obviously didn't do that tonight. But you know, we'll get another chance here soon, so gotta keep doing it.
Well, he's absolutely right. You can make all the statements you want. You can set the direction. You can demand urgency from the players. You can practice well. You can work hard in practice, but you still have to execute when the pucks drop for game time, no matter who's, you know, what kind of lineup you're facing on the other side. Lack of execution, that's something else that the Canadians have to focus on.
And using his words here, why are there players, himself included, who are, quote, sleeping a little bit in exhibition game 3? Wake up, people. Hockey, like, it's not like you're tired. you can't go out there on autopilot. And that's kind of what bits of Monday look like against Pittsburgh, and a lot of Thursday night's game look like autopilot.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that.
Nope.
So Marty St. Louis was asked if his second line needs to play with more urgency.
Yeah, and it's not even offensively. You know, to me, it's just the defensive part of the game, and that's not as fun. You know, that's got to be dialed in now.
Dial in now. And again, he's talking about defensive play. That's what they have to get urgent about. They've got to possess the puck more and longer and create those turnovers, be more intentional about their defense.
So what does the coach think that his second line needs to do?
I think it's not one guy. You know, I think to be a hard line to play again defensively, all 3 guys have to be committed to it. You can have 1 guy committed, 2 not, you can have 2 and 1 not, and it's just, you know, all 3 have to be committed to it, you know. And for me with Docker, I just felt he had energy and legs tonight, you know, and he hasn't played a game in a long time, so I'm not going to evaluate so much. I'm sure we're going to do some teaching, you know. I'm just happy he got to get in the game.
So all 3 have to be committed, which you can infer that not all 3 were mm-hmm. were committed to defense, and that he's going to, for this game, excuse Kirby Doc, so that narrows it down even more. Mm-hmm. And we know that Demidov plays with a lot of energy, so maybe that narrows it down even more. Are we seeing, you know, we were promised that we were going to get the best version of Patrick Laine, and we haven't really seen it yet so far, but he still has an opportunity to do that.
He does. This has all been a bit heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I think we expected to have a little more fun talking about the first week of preseason than this. So let's lighten things up just a little bit. And who better to do that than Jakub Dobysz? And this is in pure Jakub Dobysz fashion. He was asked how training camp is going for him this year.
Yeah, it's great. Everything is good. Everything is the same. I'm still the same guy as 4 months ago. So if you guys are looking for something new, there is nothing new.
And the room broke into laughter. We needed Jakub Dobysz to bring to lighten up the mood here. He's so genuine. He's just,
there is no filter.
No, in you get cliches and all this stuff from everybody else. He's just himself, and he's just having fun. And he's playing well.
He's allowed to.
And yeah, he's just the same as he was.
If you're looking for some kind of new thing, you're not going to find it because I'm the same guy.
For controversy, go elsewhere. Yeah. I'm just the same, like, laid back.
Don't ask me questions like this.
Guy, yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, it's time for you all to speak up on all of this. What do you think the biggest, quote, dose of reality is that you think the Canadians have to face heading into this season? Because we've seen the lofty expectations and the lofty goals, and now we've seen a little bit of reality. So our Canadians Connection question of the week, we want you to answer this. What is the biggest dose of reality that you think the Canadians have to face heading into this season? What's the elephant in the room? What's the big, hey, you can hope and wish and have goals, but here's reality. What's the big dose of reality you think they have to face heading into this season? Send us a text on the Rocket Sports text line, 5853 Rocket. Drop a comment on our YouTube channel over at InsideTheCanadians.com or hit us up on social media at Habs Connection on X, Facebook, and Instagram. We are going to take our last break here on the show. When we come back, we've got some great replies to last week's Canadians Connection question of the week. That is when we asked you if you thought that the sense of urgency mandated at training camp was the right message for such a young team. And you had some interesting things to say about that. So stick with us. You are listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Football is back, and so is your shot at big wins. With DraftKings Pick 6, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, your game day instincts can score you real money fast. Here's the play. Just pick more or less on two or more player stats, from breakout rookies to elite QBs, and unlock the upside every snap brings. The better your calls, the bigger your payout. And here's the kickoff bonus. New DraftKings customers get $50 in bonus picks with just a $5 entry on your first pick set. This season, play your player instincts. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. Play just $5, get $50 in Pick 6 bonus picks. Make the call. Ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. 1 per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 bonus picks that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
And welcome back to episode 367 of the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. Hey, if you have not done so, why don't you take a second and just tap subscribe here and on your podcast player and on our YouTube channel. Don't want you to miss a single episode as we start to get into the meat and potatoes of the season. All sorts of controversy just like this. Also, don't forget, we have written content for you as well. Going to start having some... there's, of course, Chris G coming with our weekly Rocket, Laval Rocket updates and a Habs notepad as well. Rick will have some thoughts about games and so forth in written format. And so you want to be sure that you are tapped into all of that. You can find our home for written content this season is over at hockeyhotstove.com. Just click on the Canadiens logo to be taken to the Montreal Canadiens page on hockeyhotstove.com, and you'll find all of our coverage there. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, InsideTheCanadiens.com, where not only can you listen to the podcast each week, but starting, I just started last week, once or twice a week, I will have a quick reaction video, 10 minutes or so, the day after, the morning after a Habs game, just to give you my thoughts and the game stats as to what's happening with the Habs on the ice. So be sure to check that out as well. And while you're over, I should say, over at Hockey Hot Stove, be sure to jump over to the forums tab and jump into the conversations on the Montreal Canadiens forum page. Lots of chatter happening, lots of ways for you to leave your reactions and thoughts and friendly debate and all sorts of Habs fans over there. So be sure to check that out as well. Don't forget to send us your replies for this week's Canadiens Connection question of the week. What's the biggest dose of reality you think the Canadiens have to face heading into this season? Last week, we asked you, do you think that the sense of urgency mandated at training camp is the right message for this young team? Rick, I'm going to let you kick off the ones that we chose from the responses that we got, because I know there was a great response that came in on the Rocket Sports text line.
We received this via text, 5853-ROCKET. Text us anytime. And this fellow says, hello, Rocket Sports family. This is Chris C. from the other Hamilton. Glad to be back into hockey mode and thrilled that the content will be fast and furious. Regarding Marty St. Louis and his more direct approach, since the rebuild has officially entered the next phase, expectations naturally are higher, which we've been saying. Chairs will be harder to fill. Playing with urgency and practicing at full tilt shows your willingness to carry your share of the load. If you're unable to rise to the occasion, don't expect good Marty to save you. He has turned the page and the players must do the same. Accountability is now non-negotiable. I really like that last line. Yeah. Accountability is now non-negotiable. He adds a bit of an aside on the bottom and says, as far as fantasy hockey, we have fantasy hockey leagues. He said, I would be very happy to participate again. You need a patsy to feast on. great text from Chris C.
Should mention our Rocket Sports Fantasy Sports Commissioner, Brian, will be getting our fantasy hockey leagues set up and a draft date set for those very soon. And we will have just a couple of openings in those leagues. So if you are interested, it is free to play. It's a Yahoo. They are Yahoo leagues. If you are interested in joining the Rocket Sports team and some Habs fans to play fantasy hockey this season, send us a text on the Rocket Sports text line 5853-ROCKET. Let us know you're interested and we will have the commish reach out to you to get things set up.
But we need to hear from you right away. So,
yes. So within the next few days, be sure to reach out to us to confirm that there's still a space available for you. Over on YouTube, at FrankHuber9912 said, I'm in Cowtown. Overpay? Yes, even all the way out here, I can hear Hudson's agent licking his chops. But maybe Kent is trying to inflate the value of his portfolio while warning other GMs not to be caught napping as opportunity comes knocking. Who wouldn't want to be the one to send a player like McTavish his way for the satisfaction of hearing Kent admit his blunder, quote, boy, I really hate to part with a gifted player like Alzner, but darn it, we needed a center. Yep, beware or be snookered. Frank always has really interesting comments.
Yeah.
That usually get an out loud chuckle out of many of us. So thank you, Frank Huber. It's a great comment. And keep them coming. And boy, we certainly needed a Carl Alzner name drop in this episode because we haven't mentioned that name in long enough. This next comment on YouTube comes from at Dark Matter Eclipse, and I will mention this was in response to my game reaction video after the Flyers game, after the Habs Flyers game preseason game last week. And I had asked in that video, Drop me a comment to let me know what stood out to you in this game, good, bad, or otherwise. And so they say, what stood out versus the Penguins? Goaltending and faceoffs won. Who stood out was Beck's overall game and Fowler. Kandata and Belzile had the lowest faceoff percentage at 50. The team was 64%. Impressive. Versus the Flyers, again, faceoffs won. It's preseason, but Jack Eye at 80%, Suzuki at 71%, and Newhook? ? At 66%. But less shots, more pace. Thorpe and Florian Jack Eye, very noticeable on the ice. All good takes, good and bad, from both games. That's an astute Habs fan who's really watching the game. As we said, faceoffs is the one place that they actually did excel pretty well during the week. And hopefully we'll see that continue.
And Thorpe really liked that play where he absorbed the hit. I think it was from DeLaurier. Mm-hmm. Made the pass anyway to Florian Jacky for his goal.
That's right. Really nicely done. So setting you up for this week, what do we have on tap? Well, Saturday night, of course, the Montreal Canadiens travel to Toronto to take on the Maple Leafs for game 4 of their preseason. Then on Tuesday, they travel to Quebec City to take on the Ottawa Senators in Quebec City. So that's the quote-unquote neutral site game, but it will be very Montreal friendly. And then the Canadiens will continue training camp from October 1st through 3rd at the Videotron Center. They are going to stay out there for a little while. And they usually do kind of a bit of a retreat towards the end of training camp. And so they'll stay there before. Now, granted, this will be after our next episode, but then they'll have one last preseason game against Ottawa on home ice at the Bell Center in about a week. So it's an important couple of days. Mm-hmm. Coming up ahead, we will be back here again Saturday, October 4th to break it all down, hopefully with better results than we saw from this week, hopefully more positives than negatives from this week. Regardless, good or bad, we're going to have fun talking about it, and we're going to have fun talking with all of you about it, and we're going to have fun listening to all of your input about it. So thank you so much for joining us for this week's episode of the Canadiens Connection podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe. Go Habs go. Enjoy the hockey, and we'll see you again next time on the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadiens Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.